Praise the Lord. Absolutely. Thank you for choosing those songs this morning. Praise the Lord. He has done so many great things. Do you agree with that? Yeah, amen. Amen. This morning's service is going to be a little bit different because of the ordination. So the order of service is just a little different. So just make you aware of that. Welcome here, everybody. It is good to see the house of God filling up again, and thank you so much for choosing to worship here. Welcome here if you are friends and family and guests. We welcome you here and trust that God will richly bless you this morning. Dan, I am really glad that you made it here to your ordination. Franklin D. Roosevelt received an invitation to his presidential inauguration to be on January 20th, 1937. He received this through the White House Social Bureau, but something happened. And given the many details which presidential inaugural committees have to deal with and cope with, mistakes are inevitable. And so FDR solemnly sent word through the press of official business that official business would keep him away from his inauguration. Once he realized that, though, he sent his own letter in his own handwriting saying that I have rearranged my engagements and I think I may be able to attend after all. We'll definitely know by January 19th, FDR. And so it is good to see you here and that you were good with the date, and I didn't receive any conflicts from your secretary at all, and so appreciate you being here for your ordination. Dan has had the privilege of knowing me as his little, as the little pain in the neck brother to the girl he was dating. Then, of course, as his brother-in-law. Then as co-workers as we worked together for a time at Grand West. And then as senior pastor. And so I texted Dan and I asked him if it felt kind of awkward that his little twerp brother-in-law would be ordaining him today. And I think the lack of response says it all. And I love Dan dearly, and I appreciate the gifts that God has given you, and I appreciate the desire that you have to walk in obedience and to use those gifts to honor and glorify God. I absolutely appreciate that of you, Dan. Pastor Dan's call to ministry, I believe, can be summed up with two verses found in Matthew 28, 19, and 21. It's a very familiar passage. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Dan and Teresa have taken this command to go and make disciples very literally. They have this literal command. Has taken them to PNG for missionaries as missionaries for about 13 years or so. And then it brought them back to Canada, and they have served as that same command brought them back to Ulster Mission Chapel, where they have served as deacon couple for 4 years. And now, most recently, have served as associate pastor for 2 years. And so, it is awesome to see your desire to follow God in obedience to where he calls you, and to do what he asks of you. You will hear Dan himself say that he did not feel a specific call necessarily to go to the mission field. He did not feel a specific call necessarily to be a pastor. But it is his act of obedience. It is an act of obedience to that great commission that is given by God, and led him to PNG for a number of years. And now back to the promised land of Saskatchewan, to be a pastor. So this morning, I've entitled my sermon, A Charge to Shepherd God's Flock. And although this is specifically speaking to shepherd the flock of God and somewhat directed at us as pastors, there is so much merit for every believer in this. So don't discount it. Don't sleep and do the crossword puzzle now, because that's not the time. Because I'm speaking. God is, in fact, it's not even me that matters that is speaking. God is speaking. And so when God speaks, there is always something important for each one of us as believers, right? Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. First Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. First Peter chapter 5, 1 to 4. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. Nor yet is lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. In Scripture, we see often there is that pastors are equated to shepherd and to the shepherds because of their pastoral responsibility and tasks. It's very easy to equate these two together. So when we hear shepherd, or when I refer to shepherd, it is referring to a pastor, to an overseer. And so just so that you have an understanding of that. And it's used both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament as a figurative sense of rulers and leaders. So firstly, this morning, we want to look at Jesus Christ is the archetype shepherd, and it is Christ who will hold the pastor shepherd to account. In 1 Peter 5, verse 4, it says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. As the chief shepherd, Christ oversees the entire flock, and the pastors are in a sense, under-shepherds. Christ, in a sense, is lead pastor over all the other pastors, and so all the other pastors fall in under Christ. He is the chief shepherd, and that is our position. We are under Christ. Our pastoral ministry should be modeled after Christ's example. He had compassion for people. He had compassion for the lost. He had compassion for the hopeless people. He had compassion for the lost. He had compassion for the wealthy. He had compassion for people who did not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and weren't aware of the fact that they needed a Redeemer. He had compassion for people because he knew what was going to happen. What is the outcome if you don't know of God Almighty? He knew that and he understood that so well. And he had compassion for those people. He is a great model. Mark 6:34 says, when Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd and he felt compassion for them. Why? Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were without people, without a shepherd. And so the picture here, when you understand sheep a little bit, it's not that common to us, but when you understand sheep a little bit, they can function fairly well if they are in their little circle of their little what they are used to. But if they happen to wander about 5 feet away from that, they are absolutely lost and they will never be able to find their way back to the fold. Isn't that incredible? So Jesus is seeing people and he's seeing that this that they're going to be lost, that they're going to be getting in trouble, that their lives will be in danger. And Jesus has compassion on them. What an example that he leads for us as pastors, for us as shepherds, for us as leaders of the church, for us as people. And he began to teach them. He also taught with authority. He taught with conviction. He taught the truth. And he was obedient to his Father, even to death on the cross. The perfect mentor is to follow Jesus. Do not follow other people. Follow Jesus. And each pastor's work, of course, teaching and preaching, will be evaluated and rewarded by him, by Jesus, not by any one man, not by the person that is giving you a hard time, the person that is giving you grief, or even the people in the congregation. It's not evaluated by those people. Who do we give an account to? You give an account to God himself, to Jesus Christ, will hold us to account as to how we've done. And so when he holds us to account, he will say to us, Dan, did you feed my sheep? Were you vigilant over the souls of my sheep? Did you seek my lost sheep? Did you guard the deposit of my truth? Did you guard the word of God and teach it in its entirety without adding to it or deleting from it? Did you stand watch against the wolves? Did you love my flock? It is Christ that holds us to account for what we teach and what we preach. We are accountable to him because the church does not belong to me. The church does not belong to Pastor Bill or Pastor Simon or Pastor Dan. The church belongs to God. Shepherd, and so the call to us is to shepherd the church of God. There's a clear reminder of whose church it is. Shepherd the church of God in Acts 20, verse 28. Be on guard for yourselves and for the flock among you, and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God. Shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. That's why it does not belong to us. That's why it belongs to God, because he has purchased it with his own blood. It cannot be ours. And being that it is a church of God and that we are accountable to him, what are the responsibilities to us? What are the responsibilities to you? What is required of the shepherd pastor? I believe that a deep, unshakable love for Christ, and that includes all of us, a deep, unshakable love for Christ. Jesus asked Simon Peter a really tough question in John chapter 21, verse 15 to 18. He asks him a really tough question. Let me read that for you this morning. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep, tend my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him again, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, shepherd my sheep. In verse 17, Jesus said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? Do you love me? Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you, Jesus said to him. And he says to him, tend my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not want to go. I can understand Peter's frustration. Three times he was asked this question, and three times he gave the same answer. By the third time, he's like, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus, being God, would have known Peter's heart. He would have known if he loved him or not. Why does he continue to ask him three times, Peter, do you love me? I just told you I love you. Why would you ask me again? And then a third time, a second time, and a third time. Yes, what part of this aren't you getting? Jesus, I said, I love you. But Jesus wanted Peter to understand the question in relation to the call on his life. In order to follow me, Jesus, I believe, was saying, in order to follow me and serve in the position that I am calling you to serve in, Peter, you will need to love me. No doubt. You will need to love me because it won't always be easy. You will need to love me because you will be persecuted. You will need to love me because in order to love people as I have loved them, you will need to love me and understand how I love people. In order to love people and be compassionate on people, you will need to love me and understand my love for you, Peter. I want you to be absolutely sure of this, Peter, that you love me. Not the idea of what I'm calling you. Don't love the idea of what I'm calling you to. Because if you love the idea of what I'm calling to, when it gets tough, when it gets hard, when it gets rough, what's going to happen? You're going to quit. Do you love me? Because then in adversity, we can walk strong because we love Jesus. And we know he is the chief shepherd. Not just a lip service of, we some passionate sometimes say things that we don't put much meaning to. Sometimes that word, I love you, or that phrase, I love you, we spew it out without even thinking of the reality of what those words really mean. What does it mean to love you? There's big meaning behind them. Jesus, do you love me? Do you love Jesus in that you're going to humble yourself in full dependence of him? Do you love Jesus that you are going to surrender every area, every aspect of your life? Do you love Jesus that you are willing to do that? Do you love Jesus that you are going to be willing to submit to him in obedience and to walk where he is calling you to walk, to go where he is calling you to go, to serve where he is calling you to serve? And that might be in PNG, or it might be in Osler, or it might be in Saskatoon, or who knows where it is. At your job, at your school, in your neighborhood. But do you love me to serve faithfully? Do you love me to do whatever I ask? Jesus is saying, you will need to love me because you will be ridiculed. You will be stretched. You will be challenged. And if you are willing to love me like this, and you say you are, Peter, if you're willing to love me like this, and you say, yes, I love you, Lord, then what does Jesus tell him? Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. Shepherd my sheep. That's part of the responsibility that is placed on the shepherd, is feeding the flock. In John 21, we just read that Jesus tells Peter to feed his lambs. And then verse 16, he says, Jesus tells Peter to take care of my sheep. And in verse 17, he says again, feed my sheep. Shepherd shepherding and feeding are synonymous. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2 says, herald and preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency. This is in the Amplified Version. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Herald and preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency. Stand by. Be ready at hand and ready. Whether the opportunity to be seems to be favorable or unfavorable, whether it is convenient or inconvenient, whether it is welcome or unwelcome, you, as a preacher of the word, are to show people in what their lives, in what way their lives are wrong, and convince them, rebuking them, correcting them, warning and urging and encouraging them, be an unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and teaching. One of the qualifications is to be a capable teacher and preacher of the Word of God. To be able to teach the Word of God in its entirety, to expound on it. Whether it's popular or not. Whether people want to hear. And so you understand our responsibility as pastors, as shepherds. This is our responsibility. We'll get into that a little bit more. What is the congregation's response to the shepherd? But part of it is to understand what is required of us by God. We aren't teaching and preaching because we feel that you're wrong in this area or that area or this area. But we're teaching, and we should teach the Word of God in its entirety, not leaving out anything, not even when the subject, not even when the topics get hard for us to hear. Whether people are willing to receive it or not, continue to teach the Word of God. It might seem inconvenient at times to preach, but he says, preach it, teach it. Don't become lazy. Don't be content just to do the minimum. Don't be content to just, oh, that's good enough. Recognize the urgency of the message of the good news of Christ. There's a sense of urgency there. And Jesus says, and if you love me, feed my sheep. Teaching and preaching is required of you. And also, and so is caring for the flock. Caring for the flock is required of the shepherd. 1 Timothy 3 verse 2 says, now a bishop, again in the Amplified Version, now a bishop, superintendent, overseer, must give no grounds for accusation, but must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, circumspect and temperate and self-controlled. He must be sensible and well-behaved. Dan, you have to be well-behaved. It says right here. He must be sensible and well-behaved and dignified and lead in an orderly, disciplined life. He must be hospitable, showing love for and being a friend to the believers, especially strangers or foreigners, and be a capable and qualified teacher. There again, we see the importance of being a capable and qualified teacher, the Word of God and its importance. And I spoke about that a couple of weeks ago. How do we expect to change our lives, or how do we expect things to improve in our lives? How do we expect to walk in victory in our lives if we don't go to the Word of God? And as pastors and teachers and preachers, we need to go to the Word of God. It is important. It is of utmost importance to teach the Word of God. I love how the Amplified says, he must be hospitable, showing love for, being a friend to the believers, especially strangers and foreigners. Showing love is caring for the believer enough to continue to teach the Word in its entirety. That's important. His teaching the Word is important. It shows that we care. It shows that we love. Showing love is being available, caring for the flock. It's being available for the flock. And dear church, I want you to know this, that I am not too busy. Sometimes you see us as being so busy, so I don't want to bother the pastor. You don't want to phone the pastor. You don't want to come visit the pastor because you think the pastor is too busy. But I am never too busy for you to, when you need to chat, when you need to drop by the office, when you need to go out for a coffee, when you need to come over for a visit, when you want to watch a Riders game. Those are important things, Riders games, right? But I want you to know the one thing that I am never too busy for you. I want you to know that. Do you have things to do? As pastors, do we have things to do? Absolutely. And that's good. But never, ever are we ever too busy for this congregation. Sometimes we will have to change the schedule and do things a little differently, but we are willing to do that. Please note that. I don't want you to ever feel that we as pastors are too busy for your needs or for simply chatting or watching a game together, whatever, going for coffee. And I know the heart of our pastors enough to know that each one will respond the exact same way, that we are never too busy. And again, yeah, we have things to do, but we will make time. Showing love is making time. Showing love is listening. Showing love is speaking love and encouraging for the glory of God. That's our role as people and as pastors, right? To show love to people, to listen to people. Huge, huge importance. We're also responsible for protecting from false teachers. There's several scriptures, and I don't think I'll read them all this morning, but in Acts 20:29 and Matthew 7:15 and John 10:1 and John 10:10, that's my favorite verse because it gives us hope. It puts things into perspective. It talks about the thief coming to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said that he came to give life. But the whole idea in these verses is that there is a thief and he's trying to come and steal, kill, and destroy absolutely any hope, anything, any type of hope in your life. To distort the truth in just its slightest form so you don't understand or realize the true relationship that you can have with Jesus Christ. Our job, our responsibility is to be able to teach sound doctrine so that you'll be able to know and understand and see those false teachings, those false words that people are trying to sway you with. And it talks about, we're going to go back and we're going to read these, Acts 20:29. I know that after my departure, savage wolves. How do you like the language used there? Savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. They're out to destroy the flock. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. So it's not going to be blatant. Sometimes it's not going to be just blatant unbelief. There's going to be small things that lead you away from Christ, that lead you away from the joy. It's our responsibility to teach sound doctrine so that we can know and understand when we see false teaching. Sound doctrine is of absolute importance, and sound teaching is absolutely imperative. And the reason it is of such importance is we don't seek to bash people and their beliefs. That's not what we're out to get, is put people down, and that's not what we're out to do, but to make us aware of the truth so we understand the truth so that we don't get sucked in by false teaching, by things that are not biblical. I'm going to give you just a quick example. Back in November when we went to Buffalo Narrows with Norman McKellum here, and I've shared this before, there was a shaman, a witch doctor that came in and he started spewing off things that were not true. They were not biblically sound. Yet he used words that people, if you weren't grounded in the scripture, you might think that he's actually quoting scripture. You might think that he knows some things and you may be tempted to follow him if you're not grounded in sound doctrine. If you don't know the truth and you don't understand the truth, you may be tempted to follow him. But because Norman has known sound doctrine and he has been taught about sound doctrine, he recognized and realized, and so did others in that room, that this was not of God. And so he politely, not throwing him out or bashing this person, but politely asked, said, you know, we have an agenda. We need to get through what we do. You're welcome to join us, but right now we don't have time for your agenda. And so he said, you're welcome to stay, but he didn't stay. And so he left. And he put a curse on us. So what do you do if you don't have sound doctrine? What do you do with the fact that now there's a curse been placed on you? Well, that curse has no bearing. The curse has no bearing on me as a believer. But if I don't know my sound doctrine, I'm going to be afraid of everything that happens because he put a curse on me. No, why? Because Norman quoted the verse, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Jesus has conquered Satan, and he will crush his head. Finally. So if we don't know sound doctrine, it's so easy for us to go astray. False teaching most always comes from a place of pride. And then, as pastors, we need to lead and not exploit. 1 Peter 5, verse 3 says, Not yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. So don't assert your will in some arrogant manner. That's not what it's about. Simply put, don't think that you are superior. Don't think that you are better than anybody else. Don't think that you are better than the people that you are shepherding. Serve in humility. Very simply put, serve in humility. And this brings us to the congregation's responsibility. The congregation is accountable to the pastors. First of all, in order to do that, in order to be okay with that, you have to have the understanding that Christ is the chief shepherd, right? And we need to submit under Christ. And then the scripture says that the sheep are accountable to the shepherd, to the pastors. Hebrews 13, verse 17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Again, the reminder is that we are accountable to God. Understand that when we are teaching and preaching truth, we're not out to speak to any one person necessarily, but if the Holy Spirit does that, That's his intent and his purpose, but ours is to be completely, completely submissive to God and allow him to use us as we teach the Word of God in its entirety. And secondly, pray for the pastors. Pray for your pastors. Hebrews 13, 18 says, pray for us, for we are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. Oh, to know and to understand and to feel the prayers of the people is incredible. And that's what I mean when I say God is not too big. When I said earlier this morning that God is not too big, or no problem is too small, when we're sitting and poring over the Word of God, it is evident when you are praying as a congregation for your pastor. When we are dealing with a situation, when we are chatting with somebody, when we are just doing life, we need your prayers. And attend worship services regularly. Hebrews 10:23-25 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Attending church regularly is important to know the full teaching, to understanding the full teaching. to know how we teach on a regular basis, to be able to understand that we teach the Word in its entirety. It's important to be regular and understand who your pastors are and what they are teaching. To see that teaching lived out in our lives, to know us that well, to interact with us that well by attending regularly, by becoming familiar with each other. By seeing the teaching lived out in our own lives. To encourage others in their walk. To encourage each other. Encourage each other in sound doctrine, in sound teaching. Know the heart of your leaders and the passion of your leaders. And so regular attendance is an important aspect of the sheep, of the congregation. This is not exhaustive by any means, but this is briefly touching the surface of some of the responsibilities of the leader. And the quote that's in the sermon notes by J. Hudson Taylor says, "When God's work is done in God's way, for God's glory, it will never lack God's supply." Powerful quote. With that, we'll invite the ushers forward to take our offering this morning. Continue to pray for those that are sick, that are in the hospital. Corny Dick has gone home, I was told, this morning. And so, exciting. Continue to pray for healing for him. And, good again to see Ike and Ann Jansen here with us. And pray God's continued to healing for them as well. So great to see you guys here. And for those, and Anna Buhler, and I don't want to miss anybody. So I apologize if I have not named you by name, but we want to pray for you, and we want to continue to pray for you throughout the weeks and the months that are ahead of us. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your example as the chief shepherd. We thank you for the example that you have shown, and we thank you for even today the desire of Dan to follow in those footsteps of Jesus and to shepherd as he is called Dan to shepherd in that role. And so thank you for that. So we thank you for this service together. Father, we thank you for this congregation. We thank you for the people that serve in this congregation, the people that attend in this congregation. We thank you for every person that is here today. And Father, we know that through your word, you will teach each one of us. And so may we as a church be faithful, may we as pastors be faithful to continue to teach the word. And so that we are not ignorant, and so that we will not fall prey to false teachers. Father, this morning we are reminded of the many people that are sick among us, and those that aren't able to join us because they are too sick. We remember those people. And Father God, we just pray that through your Holy Spirit you would be close to them this morning, through your Holy Spirit that you would reveal yourself fresh, even now, even today. That even their situation isn't too insignificant. That they are not too insignificant. But that, God, you are a God that loves people. You care for people. You care when people are hurting. You care when people are discouraged. You care for people. And Father, so those people today that are hurting, whether it's physically or spiritually or emotionally, God, would you touch their lives in a special way and just bring an encouragement to them and a joy that is unexplainable? To those who are suffering with cancer and are not certain of the outcome of their sickness or their illness, but God, that they would put their faith in you and trust you, because you are a God that loves and you have provided so greatly for us as your children, and you will continue to provide even in whatever situation they are walking in today. So, Father, we trust them to you. Father, I thank you that you have blessed us so richly. Father, I thank you for the opportunity we have to give to you. I thank you for the opportunity that we have to further your kingdom by sharing this great wealth that you have given to us. And so, Father, today, even as we give, would you bless that? Would you multiply it? And would you, through our giving, continue to build your kingdom? And may it bring honor and glory to you. We pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Pastor Dan, Teresa, it's exciting, and I invite you to the stage now. I'm really glad I wore a suit today, because I would have felt a little underdressed if Dan was wearing a suit and I wasn't, so yeah, it worked out well. So this is, they're telling us in the boardroom that apparently this is the new dress code, and actually I think we'll probably get Dan to grow a beard and see how that goes. And
I don't need a beard to prove I'm a man.
Okay, Dan, I'm supposed to be nice to you today. Yeah, Teresa said you're supposed to behave. Wasn't that in one of the verses there?
Behave. You have to pray for me.
That's perfect. Perfect. I love the fun that I can have with Dan and Teresa. I love their sense of humor, but I love their passion for the Lord. I love their passion for teaching and preaching the Word of God. Pastor Dan and Teresa, you have faithfully served as commissioned associate pastor couple for the past 2 years here at Ozer Mission Chapel. And you have assured the ministerial team that you have believed God's call and has prepared you and are prepared to continue to serve as associate pastor here at Ozer Mission Chapel. And so today we are ordaining you to the role of associate pastor, and the congregation has expressed their support for you in this specific role of ministry through an absolutely overwhelming vote of affirmation. And so this morning we are asking you to make a public commitment before God and our church family by answering the following questions. And so you can answer, guys can both answer these questions. You can answer together, or you can answer them one at a time, whatever. Yeah, I'm going to leave that up to you. Yeah, play that by ear. But Pastor Dan and Teresa, do you firmly believe in your heart, and are you confident that God has called you to this specific ministry?
We do.
Have you considered your personal walk with God and the responsibilities of this ministry in light of the teaching of God's word according to Scripture?
We have.
Do you pledge to continue to engage in the ministry of associate pastor with sincerity and integrity, setting an example in life, in love, in faith and in purity? And do you promise before God and this congregation that by God's enabling grace through the power of the Holy Spirit, you will seek to faithfully discharge the duties of this call, seeking to build the Church of Jesus Christ at Osler Mission Chapel to the glory of God?
We will.
Thank you. I'll invite Dan and Margaret Andres and Pat up, and we will have a prayer of dedication now for them as well. Just get you guys to move up here. Absolutely. Come to the front here. You can, Dan, or where you want to be with your wife. That's fine, too. All right. Let's pray. Pray with us this morning.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity we have to just be here for Dan and Teresa. And God, I just thank you how they have been so obedient to you in spite of all the difficulties that they've already gone through. There have been some challenges when they were in the mission, and yet they come home and they're still willing to be obedient to you. And God, we just thank you for that. And thank you that with each day that they will just come before you and be still before you and listen to your voice and continue to be obedient. And I just pray for Teresa that she will be the support that Dan needs for her and to be that listening ear when things are difficult and he's struggling with time or whatever may be the issue at the time. I just pray that she can be there for him and be that support that the wife of a pastor needs to be. And I just pray, too, that in the midst of that, she will not neglect herself nor her kids, and that she would just be able to, by your grace, be the woman that she has been called to be. And God, we know that because you've called her, that you will sustain her and provide everything that she needs. And so we just thank you for that and just commit her to you and to the things that you've called her to do. In Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, I do thank you for your goodness to us, for your faithfulness in the leadership of OMC. Thank you for Dan, for the role that he is committed to. Lord, you've also entrusted him with children, with Nathan and Matthew and Danielle and Jamie. We pray that you would continue to guide and direct them in their lives, that wouldn't be neglected. Thank you for the role that he has already played and for the testimony that they are salt and light in this world, that they would continue to do that. Lord, we thank you for his commitment, and we know that there's problems that arise in our lives, in our families, and so on and so forth. We pray, Lord, that you would rebuke Satan on behalf of their family. Thank you, Lord, for his obedience. We pray that you would bless them as they carry through. In Jesus' name.
Father God, we thank you for Dan and Teresa. We thank you for their willingness and commitment to you. We thank you for their desire to walk in obedience to you and where that has led them. And so, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for the 2 years of commissioned service that they have served here at OMC and now the larger commitment that they are making to continue to serve here as pastor couple. And so we thank you for that. God, we pray that you would continue to give Dan a real joy, and Dan and Teresa both a real joy as they serve. Would you continue to grant them knowledge and understanding of your word? Would you continue to give them a desire to continue to teach and preach your word as in its entirety and not to stray from truth, but to continue to desire to teach it in a manner that is honoring and glorifying to you? And so, God, we thank you for that. And, Father, I pray that you would keep them strong. I pray that you would, in their marriage, that they would be able to share with each other, to encourage each other, and to strengthen each other each and every day. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for this church family who is an incredible encouragement to each person. And so we thank you for that. And I pray that they would continue to be, this congregation would continue to be an encouragement to this pastor couple. And Father, we thank you for that. God, now as we commit him to you, that you would continue to give him wisdom and strength, that you would continue to give him discernment, and that you would continue to give him the leadership that he will need. Father, thank you for the gifts that you have given to him, and may you continue to see those gifts further for your kingdom, to honor and glorify you. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, on behalf of the Church of Osler Mission Chapel, I now ordain you to the associate pastor of Osler Mission Chapel and commit you to the God-given responsibilities of the ministerial of the ministry for the spiritual and emotional health and wholeness of this congregation, seeking to lead them into a deeper and intimate experience of worship and daily walk with God, and all of this for the glory of God. Lord bless you, Dan. Teresa? Dan, would you like to give us a response to that? And here's half of the church.
Knowing Gary, he didn't give me a whole lot of time. And I'm sure the worship team wants to come up again, so I'll keep this short. I want to say thank you to the church body. Because you've blessed us over the years. And Teresa was just sharing before we came up that this month was 20 years we were heading for the field. 20 years ago today, or not today, but this month, we were heading to PNG to see what God had for us there. It's interesting the steps that God takes a person in their life. As we by faith just went and sought to honor God. And God had it that we would come back, and that the mission field was no longer an option for us when we came back. And my prayer was, God, if you're faithful, don't let me sit on the fence. God has been faithful. And the song that's been going through my mind is that I've been listening to a lot lately, and I've come this far by faith. I can't turn back now. Not sure if you're familiar with it, but there's a Southern Gospel group sings it, and I've listened to it over and over again in the past weeks. God has been faithful. And it's interesting the steps that God takes one through to this position. Am I qualified? Not apart from God. He's going to have to do it. And as I read over the questions that Gary gave this past week, he said, you know, describe your call to the ministry. It was a prayer I gave to God this week. God, what is the call? I haven't had a vision. I haven't had an audible voice. I just keep stepping forward. By faith, God's able. So God, this morning, is able. And that's where I'm going to have to rest. And the moment I forget that is the moment I'll fall. So pray that you'll be in prayer for us, that we might keep leaning on the Lord. I was looking at some verses as challenge to myself. Trust they'll also be challenged to you. I'm looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Debating which part of the passage to share this morning. I changed my mind. I'd like to start in verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Starting at verse 19 and reading through to 23. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessing. The question I have for myself is, what am I willing to give up for the sake of the gospel? Or are we just content to just walk through life, putting the gospel on the side? Paul gave up a lot. He had the freedom to make those choices himself. He could have enjoyed those freedoms, but he placed himself under a restrictive position that he might be able to win some. That was his desire. That's what he put in his before him. And as I challenge myself and look at myself as well, what am I willing to give up for the sake of the gospel? And I was just looking at that verse 23 there. In the original, he uses an interesting word there, soon koinos, the together fellowship, that I might have the privilege of being able to fellowship in the body of Christ with others who have been come and won to the Lord because of my lifestyle and the things that I was willing to do, the things I was willing to give up. So my challenge for you this morning as well, what are you willing to give up for the sake of the gospel in order to see the body of Christ to completion in your life? Or are we going to continue to walk in the freedoms that we believe we have and thereby being a discouragement to others? A challenge to myself this morning. Again, I just want to say thank you for your trust and trust before God. We will be faithful to Him. Thank you.